Here we go.
Is this it? Yeah, we got it. Parshas Noach. Starts off, Eli told us Noach. These are the histories of Noach. That's a good line over here, no? Noach ish tzadik. Noach was a righteous man. He was perfect in his generations. Es Elokim Yisalech Noach. He walked with God. He walked with God. Now, there's not too many people that are known as tzaddik in the Torah. Not too many people have that accolade. Wow, is that Feiger? Andy Ackerman Smith? Holy cow. Wow, way to go, guys. You got... They're out there. So they're known as tzaddik. But not only that, not only is he known as a tzaddik tamim, a perfect tzaddik. You can't find a greater tzaddik than Noah. Not even a Jew. We're not talking about a Jew here. This is the king of all Goyim. That's what we're talking about. He's the one that's called the tzaddik. Yeah, we know Yosef is tzaddik, but he's never called tzaddik in the Torah. We know that Binyamin was a tzaddik, but he's not called tzaddik in the Torah. Even Pinchas was a tzaddik.
No, he was called Yosef tzaddik.
Not in the Torah. Never in the Torah. There's not one mention of the word tzaddik by any of them. But by Noach, it's tzaddik tamim, a perfect tzaddik. And then, what does Rashi do on this? Rashi says about this, what does Rashi say? And I mentioned this a little bit last year. Rashi says, well, some say he wasn't such a big tzaddik. It's the only person in the Torah that it says the word tzaddik for. And Rashi goes along and says, is that a little? Maybe a little bit. Everybody else is like, he slept with his mother, he was together with his Ona. All these terrible, terrible things. But finally, we have a guy that the Torah tells you, there is no one else that's like him. He's a tzaddik, and he's perfect. And Rashi says, you know, sorta.
You say he's sorta. His mother?
Well, Reuven. Reuven ve Yishkan Goa Pilageshaviv.
Oh, I mean,
the wording. No. They'll mean the wording of the pasuk seems to say something. By other people who we know are tzaddikim, it says things that are strange. By someone who Rashi says isn't so much. What's going on here? Okay, what is a tzaddik? How do you define someone as a tzaddik? How do you become a tzaddik? A tzaddik is someone who's kovish yitzro. Hold back your yitzhara. You have a yitzhara to do something, you hold yourself back, you're known as a tzaddik. For example, Yosef a tzaddik is known as a tzaddik. Why? Because he was supposed to be with Eishes Potiphar. Eishes Potiphar pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And Yosef a tzaddik said no, he becomes a tzaddik. That's a guy who held back his yitzhara. He took himself back and refused to do anything bad. What is a tamim? Tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Be perfect with Hashem, your God. Don't go to all the magic things out there. Don't use the Ov bone and the Yidoni bone. And don't ask the dead people what's going on in the other world. Don't ask it. No, have emunah. Just have Pashit and Muna and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Believe in God and everything will be all good. That person is a perfect tamim. He's a perfect person altogether. He doesn't have to worry about anything else. Now, Dora Mabel, says the Maral Gizkin, Dora Mabel, did they have emunah? Did they believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They knew there was a God. I mean, they weren't that far off from Adam. This is 1656. Everyone, there were people there who had seen Adam Rishon, like Mesushelach. Mesushelach had seen Adam Rishon. They could talk to Mesushelach, and they could say to Mesushelach, what was Adam Rishon like? What kind of a person was he? They were two generations away from the beginning of time. It's not like you couldn't believe in a God. It's not like there was a possibility of doing that. Now, yes, they were Ovid of Odazar in a way. Dor Enos started using idols to represent God. But they all believed in a God. They all believed in something. They believed there was something. There was a God. There was something out there. It might not have been a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but they believed in a God. They weren't atheists. They weren't agnostics. They weren't anything like that. They still believed. But they couldn't get over the Yitzharas. They murdered. They slept with people that they shouldn't have. They stole. They did terrible, terrible, terrible things. That was Dora Mabel. Dora Mabel had emunah. They knew who God was. But it boiled down to it, when it came to the water that I really want to drink, it was immediately taken. I know there's a God, but I'm thirsty. So what do I care what the other person has? I don't care that the other person has money. I don't care that there's a God out there. The fact is, I need $100 and I need it right now. So it doesn't matter that I'm doing something wrong. But they believed in God. They just gave in to their tithes. Noach did not give in. He not only believed in God, he didn't give in. He was a tzaddik. In his generation, he was known as a tzaddik. He was known as somebody that never gave in to his tithes. He was fine. He was the tzaddik of his generation. But that isn't the end of Noach's life. Noach lived for another 350 years after the tiflet. People forget that. He lived for 350 years till the end. He lived to 950. He came very close to Methuselah's 969. Very, very close. 950 years old when he died at the very, very end. 350 years, that means he was around by Avram Avinu for 58 years of Avram Avinu's life. And that means he saw Migdal Bavel. He was there by the Tower of Bavel. He saw the Tower of Bavel. And he was around for a different generation. What was the generation of Tower of Bavel like? Were they into Gilead rice? Were they into Shiloh Kasam? Did they kill? Did they do all those terrible things? Nothing. Migdal Babel wanted to be one with another. Everybody wanted to be friends. They all wanted to get together, have little parties. Everybody would be together, all together as one. We're just going to make one huge nation together as one. But did they believe in God? They didn't believe in him at all. There was no God. Nimrod showed them you can rebel against God and he's not going to do anything to you. And he would go on Shabbos and he would turn on and off the light. I know he wasn't Jewish. He'd turn it off the light. See, there's no God. Is he punishing me? Is he doing anything to me? That's what Nimrod was like. And he went around to the people and said, let's make our own nation. We'll all be together. There is no God. We'll be by ourselves. In that generation, you needed somebody with emunah. You need somebody who had faith. In that generation, Noah stood up and said, I'm not going to listen. He didn't go out and proselytize like Avraham Avinu did, but he stood in his own yeshiva. He made his own yeshiva with Shem Be'Aver. He sat there and he learned because he believed in God. He didn't get together with Migdal Babel. He refused to be around Migdal Babel. So he's a tzaddik in Dor HaMabul. He was a tamim and believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the times of Dor HaFlaga. What does it say over here? It says tzaddik tamim. But in last week's parsha it says, Vayomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Noach, he says, tzaddik lefanai. You are a tzaddik to me. And you, over anybody else, you are considered a tzaddik. He says straight out, the pasuk over here, where's the wording? The wording of the pasuk is, Os charisi tzaddik lefanai b'dorazeh. You I see as a tzaddik in front of me in this generation. You're a tzaddik. Because in this generation, you happen to be a tzaddik. In the next generation, in the generation after this, where I don't need you to be a tzaddik, because nobody is doing any of these taivas, then I need you to be a tamim. Then I need you to have emunah. Now, let's go into this idea of Noah. What if he would have been in another generation? It's such a crazy thing if Noah was placed in another generation. Let me ask you, Ellie, if you would be put in the generation previously, what would you be considered? You'd be a Rosh Hashanah. I mean, you know that, right? You know that. It's not your fault. It's that in the previous generation, when we were dealing with people like, Moshe Feinstein, Rav Aaron Cohen Cutler, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, we're dealing with the previous generation, us, we would have been nothing. If you take us 100 years ago, you put us back in those places 100 years ago, everything that we do, we would be nobodies. We'd be absolutely nothing in comparison to that generation. So now we're taking Noah and we're placing him in another generation, we're judging him, and we're saying what he would have been if he was in the other place. I'll tell you another thing altogether. Noah was told, you're tamim. You are perfect. Avram was told, veheye samim. You can be perfect, or you will be perfect. You will be perfect. What's the difference? He was never told he's a tzaddik, Avraham Avinu. He was told, hey, ye tamim, you will be perfect. What's the difference that Noach was called right now a tamim? Well, Avraham Avinu can only become a tamim, but he wasn't a tamim just yet. It's a big difference. When was he told, hey, ye tamim, that you will be perfect? After you get a bris milah. After you get a bris milah. Once you get a bris milah, then all of a sudden you're going to become perfect. But before that point, you're never going to be perfect. There's nothing that's going to happen. You know what Noach was born with? Like, you take a guess. A bris milah. What in the world is the point of Noah, a non-Jew, being born with a bris milah? What is that? What does that mean? And what does Chazal want to tell us with that? Why do they want to tell us that Noah was born with a milah? Avraham Avinu had to become perfect by getting a bris milah. What's the difference? Yeah.
I was going to say, why is Moshe considered tamim?
Moshe Rabbeinu was also not considered tamim. You're right. He was born with a bris milah, and it's not called the tamim. It's an unbelievable line, no? So what do we want with Noah? So here's the shot. The Zohar, the Holy Zohar, says that Noah stands for Shabbos. Menucha is what we do on Shabbos. Rest is on Shabbos, right? Noach, his whole essence was Shabbos. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they stood for the Gimel Regalim. They stood for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Each one had their own Chag. Each one was their own Chag. Anybody know what Rosh Chodesh is? Rosh Chodesh? Was it David HaMelech? Very, very good. David HaMelech is Rosh Chodesh. Now, who's greater? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David HaMelech, or Noach? You look at the pasuk.
Why don't you skip all the other people and then you go straight to David HaMelech?
David HaMelech. We can go into it another time. Hashemayim Kisi is the haftorah that we do erev Rosh Chodesh. There's a reason why we go into David HaMelech becoming the king. David HaMelech stands for Rosh Chodesh. He's the fourth Av, the fourth level, of the fourth leg of the four leg table. We can go to that another time. But the Shvatim were never supposed to be the Av. The fourth meal, Sudas Shlishis, the Yaakov Avinu, while Noav HaMalka is supposed to be David HaMelech. You can go into that another time. But Lamai said, those are the four people that are mentioned over there, the Avos and David HaMelech. But Noah would have been nothing in their generation. But we know that Shabbos gives Kedusha to the rest of the year. All of Yom Tov, all of Rosh Chodesh gets its Kedusha from Shabbos. Which means that Noah's Kedusha spread out to let everybody else have their Kedusha. The only reason why Avram is Yitzchak and Yaakov and David and Melech were great was because of Noach. And that makes sense. He's their progenitor. He's the one that gave birth to them. He's the one. Without Noach, there wouldn't be anybody. So what's this Kiddusha of Noach? How is Noach so great that he gave this Kiddusha over to everybody else here? There's a pshat over here. There's a big difference between Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov. Big difference. Anybody know that difference? The Shemi Shmuel mentions this. Big difference. What's the difference between Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov? Shabbos? What? Well, cooking is there. That's for sure true. Meaning halachos. That's all. That is definitely mentioned by the Shemi Shmuel. But what's the point? Why is that so? That the difference of us going up or HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down? It's more than that. Can Shabbos ever change? Does Shabbos ever stop? Shabbos is set in place every seventh day and there's nothing we can do about it. You want to stop Shabbos 1 week? Like 1 week, you know? Ozzy, just get up. You say, like, I don't want to keep Shabbos this week. It doesn't happen. You can't do that. You can't say, oh, I want Shabbos to be on Sunday this week. It doesn't happen. The Muslims tried it. It doesn't work. They tried it on Friday. It doesn't work. You can't do that. You can't switch Shabbos to another day. It's set in stone and you can't change that. But Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov are all based on Beis Din. If Beis Din does not say Mekudesh, if they don't make it a new month, it's not Rosh Chodesh. And guess what? There's no Yom Tov. There's no Yom Tov. You can skip out on Yom Tov. For some reason, Beis Din decides we're not going to make it a new month. Then in theory, if you go 15 days into the month, Pesach does not start. If they don't make it Nisan, it's not Nisan. Hillel HaKotan made it for us, for our generation, where you don't have Beis Din yelling out Mekudesh, Mekudesh, for our generations, for the next 3,000 years, he made every single Shabbos. He was Mekadesh every Shabbos. He made the calendar, this Hillel HaKotan, not Hillel, every single Yom Tov, I'm sorry. He made every single Rosh Chodesh, really. He made every date, and he said, this is when Rosh Chodesh will be, this is when this will be, and he made it for us. He was the one who set it up, but without him, without saying the words Mekudesh, Mekudesh, there's no Rosh Chodesh. There's no Yom Tov. They don't exist without Beis Din saying something. It's up to us. We make Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov. But Shabbos, it happens no matter what. It happens no matter what we do. Here's a pshat. Noach was given an unbelievable amount of perfection by God. He was born with the Bris Milah. He didn't do much to become great. He was great. He was born tremendous. He was born on a level that all he had to do was keep it up. Don't lose it. Don't get affected by your generation. Everything will be okay. He was born as a son of Gedolim. He was born in a perfect way. And there was nothing wrong with him. And all he was asked to do is stay away from sinning. You don't have to add on to your Kedusha. Don't do anything else. Just stay where you are and don't do anything stupid. That's what he was told. That's what Noach is, and that's what Shabbos is. You don't have to do anything on your own. It just happens. But the Avos and David HaMelech had to work on themselves. Avraham was born. He was the son of an idolatrous father. He was the son of a father who what?
Asay Tov and
Semera. Sur-mera, a very similar concept to Sur-mera and Asay Tov. Of all Noach's job was to turn away from evil. And that's the idea of a non-Jew. To turn away from evil. That's all they're at. They're not asked to do any mitzvos. We have the mitzvos. We, our B'nai Yisrael, we are commanded. You got to do something. You got to bring Kedusha upon yourself. You're not just born with this Kedusha. You have to do something. Don't just let yourself sit where you are. Add on to it. Yitzchak and Yaakov, although they had a father who was Avram and Yitzchak. So you'd think, oh, they were born into privilege. They were born into it. But we know they made their own religion, so to speak. Avraham was the man of Chesed. Yitzchak was the man of Gemura. Yaakov was the man of Tiferes. They had their own midos. They had their own things. It was Ke'ilu. They were another generation. David HaMelech was thrown out of his house. They thought he was a mamzer. The whole story about David HaMelech. The mamzer, the medrash that's brought down about David HaMelech. They were thrown out of the house. David HaMelech had to make himself on his own, being a shepherd in the field. You can't find people like that. Those people. You want to ask who's greater? Who's greater? Noah, who's born on this level? Or you got Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David, who made their own level, who created themselves, who put themselves on such a level, they put themselves in such a position that they're greater than anything that you can think of. Noah's Kedusha was not greater or better. It led to the Kedusha of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David, and Melch. His Kedusha, which was inherent, was something that got forced into his future generations, that spiritual DNA that he gave over to his future generations. It was there, but it was dormant. It was sitting there, lying in wait, waiting to come out, and when they used it, it was brought out. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David HaMelech made it awesome. And they brought it out. Who's greater? Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David. Because they had to do something. They're greater in that way. Noach was on a higher level, but he was given it. That's not as great. not as great. And we can't judge what's greater and what's not greater, but that's the idea behind Shabbos versus Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh. The idea behind who is a better person. If you would have been in Avram's generation, you would have been nothing. Why would he have been nothing? Because Avram's generation was about growing yourself. Noach didn't know how to grow himself. He didn't know how to do that himself. And that's not his job. You don't blame him for that. Oz, what were you going to say? The only thing, the only one of the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach that they have is din. The point behind din is to set up a court system. Why? So that people don't go crazy. It's more of a, you're right, it's an assay, but it's a different type of an assay. It's not the same type of an assay as wear tzitzis. Not the same type as put on tefillin. It's a different type. All their laws are geared toward their society and just not messing up.
It's a do so you don't.
Yes, exactly. It's due so that people don't mess it up. That's exactly what it is. And I know as a budding lawyer, that's exactly what you're thinking. I hear that. But it's still enough. It's enough to be able to say it's Sur Meirah. That's the idea, by the way, of Rabbi Akiva Eiger versus the tailor. Rabbi Akiva Eiger started on this level. Started on this level, he was born into privilege. In other words, born into tremendous tzaddik's family. He had a great mind, a huge mind, an unbelievable mind. A type of mind where he could mamish think through 50 Blatt of Gemara in 5 minutes. 50 Blatt of Gemara in 5 minutes. That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And he grew to this level, an unbelievable level. This high, from here to here, about five levels up, whatever you want to call it. Let's just use it as five levels up. The tailor was born to a bunch of Amaratzim. He was not born to nobody. He was born underprivileged. He didn't know any. His parents didn't know Alephas. His parents didn't know anything. He was born all the way down here. And he brought himself up here. Brought himself up to here. The tailor brought himself this high. 10 levels higher than where he started. Rabbi Akiva Eiger started off on a higher level than the tailor ever got to. As a baby, Rabbi Akiva Eiger was greater than that tailor. But at the end of the day, the tailor grew in levels more than Rabbi Akiva Eiger did. We're not the ones to judge who's greater in Shemayim. We have absolutely no idea. We don't know. But consider that as Noach versus Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and versus David HaMelech. You don't want to say anything about this, what's happening in Shemayim. You have absolutely no idea. But that's the idea. They're both great. They're both tremendous. Which one's greater? New. Each one has their milas. Each one is separate from one another. So here we go. How do you come like Noach? Listen, guys. I'm walking outside. I look at an ad. And I honestly couldn't believe. I actually went downtown this past week to speak downtown, and I was in my car driving on the highway on the 9094 going to the Diamond District. As I'm going around there, I look and I see a billboard, and I'm like, what in the world is that? And then I realized, it's a woman. She wasn't standing a normal way, sitting or lying in an abnormal way, and I was like, oh my gosh. She was not completely, but undressed. But I didn't even realize that it was a woman. Because it was in such a, you know, like sometimes you look at something and you're like, what is that? And then you realize, oh my gosh. And I couldn't believe it. It was right there on a huge billboard. Gee, if it was for a movie or a TV show, I had no idea what it was. For something, but it was something out there. There's a mabul out there. There's a crazy amount of arayas out there. Crazy amount. How in the world do you make a teva? How in the world do you protect yourself from that tumah? How in the world do you do it? What do you do? What are you supposed to do? How did Noach find chayim with Hashem? Noach matza chayim b'nei Hashem. How do you find that chayim? How do you get that favor? What do you do? What did Noach do that was so special that he got a teva from it? He was able to protect himself from it. So listen to this. I don't usually say a Rosh Shor. I got into Rosh Shor this week. Rosh Shor is awesome this week. But listen to this. But if you have a pen and paper, you're going to need it. If you don't have a pen and paper, and I hope you got the smarts to be able to remember. This is going to take a little bit. You're going to have to remember a couple things over here. Here we go. It goes like this. He says like this. There's someone who goes back on his word. Guy goes back to the word. He's in business. He promises, you know what? I'm going to give you that. I'm going to get you that deal. I'm going to get you that deal. He says, I'm going back on it. I don't want to give it to you anymore. I don't want to give it to you. Somebody else gave me a better deal. I'm going to give it to him instead of you. But I already promised you that I was going to give it to you. I said, I am giving it to you, Paul. I'm giving it to you. I'm not giving it to that guy over there. And then I go back on it. You're over on something called a Mishapara. Mishapara means God who paid back, who punished Dora Mabel, Dora Flaga, Sodom and Amora, and Mitzrayim, God who punished those four nations, again, Dora Mabel, this is this generation, Dora Flaga, that was the Migdal Bavel, Sodom and Amora, when he destroyed Sodom and Amora, and then finally, by Mitzrayim, the God who punished them will punish you, because you went back on your word. Well, that's pretty extreme. I mean, those guys were bad. I just went back on my word. What's the big deal of going back on my word? All I did was that. Why is that such a huge thing that's different from everything else? The Gra says the following. The Gra says God punishes nations of the world with three punishments. Fire, water, and wind. There's also earth and heart.
for anybody who's had different cap and flame. By the way, you want that. Anyway, forget about that. The three punishments that you can get are fire, water, and wind. Eish, ruach, and mayim. Eish, ruach, and mayim. He says the following. He says the mabul was mayim. Sodom was Eish. That was the Eish that came, the sulfur that came from Shemayim. The Haflaga, that was the wind that blew down the entire building, that knocked down the entire building. In Mitzrayim, all three happened, especially in Barad. Barad was hailstones that were snow, it was ice, and it was water and fire put together that was coming down from Shemayim with the wind. All three of them were put together. It was a huge, huge, huge punishment. All of them. A person has all three within his body, along with the Ufra. The only time all three come together, the Eish, the Ruach, and the Mayim, is when a person speaks. The Mayim is the chesed of a person, the Eish is the din of a person, and the Ruach is his ability to let it out and let something go.
Mayim chesed.
Mayim chesed, Eish din. And Ruach is your ability to speak. It's the wind that comes from you. You know, a guy's blowing hot air. That's where the Ruach comes from, the idea of Ruach. A person has that Eish, Ruach, and Mayim within his own system. If you speak and you say something and you go back on your word, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take that Eish, Ruach, and Mayim and throw it right back at you. I'll take the punishments that I gave to those four generations and I'll destroy you with. That's why the word Omar, a person says something, Omar is Eish, Mayim, Ruach. Person said something, it's your Eish, Mayim, and Ruach together, and if you go against it, then you're destroyed. You can be destroyed. That's what's going to end up happening to you. Your mom is destroyed. That's Mida, Keneged Mida, what happened. That's what Dora Mabel did. What did Noach do to get around that? B'nai Yisrael, two brisos. One we know about, the bris milah that's on that part of our body. We know about that one, right? There's another bris. There's a bris halashon. We were told that we got to watch what our mouths say. There's a bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with us and what we say, what comes out of our mouths. We got to be careful with what we say. We have to make sure that we say the right things. If a person goes ahead and keeps what his mouth does, his peh does, then he'll be careful with what his bris milah does. That's why peh, 85, is the gematria of milah. Mila and Per, the exact same thing, it's a connection. You have two eyes, you have two nostrils, you have two ears, two hands, two feet. You have one mouth, and you have one opening by that side of the body, one area of that side of the body that's considered another type of a mouth. Those are connected to one another, and there's a huge connection. Saying the right thing makes sure that you don't do the right thing when it comes down there. You want to keep the bris? You want to make sure that you don't fall prey to Arias? Watch your mouth. Watch what you say. Be careful when you say something, what you say when you say it, and how you say it. And if you make sure that you do it in the right way, then I guarantee you, says Rav Shor, mine doesn't really mean much. I guarantee you, you'll be able to watch out for your bris down there on top of your body. That's the pshat. But Shechez Arts, the whole land was destroyed because they couldn't keep their mouths. They said to people, we'll do this, and then they never ended up doing it. So what did Noach have? He had a teva. Anybody remember the height, the length, the width? 300 amos by 50 amos by 30 amos. 300 is what in gematria? Shin. 30? Lamed. What's 50? Lashon. Lamed, Shin, Nun. Stands for the Lashon. He was able to watch himself. And the remez of what the table was supposed to be to watch your mouth. And that's the word. Teva. The whole thing stands for a word. Watch the words that come out of your mouth. And if you watch them, you'll be able to stay away from all the arayas that are out there in this world. Thus, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Perek Mem Hei. Tehillim Mem Hei says, Yaf Yafisa Mi Bnei Adam. You are better than all other Bnei Adam. All other people, sons of Adam Rishon, you are the greatest. Hutzak Chayn Besipso Secha. You made chayn come out from your lips because you said the right thing. And you always said the right thing and you made sure not to say the wrong thing. That's the idea behind it. That's how you survive the mabul. But why the lips? Hold on a second. It shouldn't be the lips. It should be the lashon. It should be the tongue, shouldn't it? Hutzat chayn b'lashonecha. Not b'sifsosecha. What's the lips? Listen to this pshat. There are two things that you got to do. You got to know when to speak and you got to know when to stop. You got to know when to just be quiet. Somebody's saying something to somebody else and you want to say something, you want to comment? There's no reason. You stop your lips. Your lips are there to stop yourself, to say, don't say anything. Stop yourself. I don't need to get involved in that. I don't need to do this. Listen to this. In the Haftorah, there is a pasuk, the Samti Kad Kod Shimsho Saich. I will make a Kad Kod, this stone, your servant. Everything you have will be made with this Kad Kod, this type of stone. What kind of a stone is this? It's got to be something precious, right? So the Gemara argues. Some say it's Shoham, it's onyx. Others say it's Yashpeg, jasper. Onyx or jasper, ooh. Onyx versus jasper. Very nice stones, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll give them both. What's pshat? Anybody know what the school of Shohan is? If you have an onyx stone, you know what the school is? It's Yosef's stone. It's Yosef's stone in the breastplate, on the Choshen. Anybody know what the school is? The school is, if you wear an onyx, your words will be heard by the government. You will be heard by the government. You get an onyx stone, the school is, everybody will listen to you and everybody will think you're a great person. All the words that come from your mouth will be listened to. You know what the school of a yashpe is? Jasper? Who's for Binyamin? Yesh peh. You have a mouth and you don't use it. The school of yashpe is to be able to not say something and people still think you're smart. No, if you don't say anything, everybody thinks I'm an idiot. People will look at you and say, oh, he's a smart man. He is a smart man for closing his mouth. That's the idea behind yashpe. If you do this, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you close your mouth and you open your mouth at the right times, I promise you both. You will get the yashpe, you will get the shoam, you'll get both of them together and everything will be all good. Ready for this? It's mamish, the most unbelievable shot. That's good. That's Kad code, right? That makes sense. Kad code is Chof Dalid, Chof Dalid. Chof times Chof. 20 times 20 is 400. Dalid times Dalid is 16. 416. Same gematria as Shammai and Hillel. Shammai is 351. Hillel is 65. All together, they come out to 416. 416. Shammai is Midas Adin. It's a type of gematria. I can explain it later. Shammai is Midas Adin. Shammai is all about the tzimtzum. Stopping yourself from doing something. Midas Adin is saying, just stop. I don't want to get involved in that. It's sur meira. Turning yourself back from something that's evil. The koach to be quiet and know when to be quiet. When the gerim came up to Shammai and Hillel, and the Gerim said, teach me Torah while I'm standing on one leg. I want to know everything. I want to become the Kohen Gadol. When the Gerim came up to him, what did Shammai do? Kicked him out of the house. He didn't want to talk to him. Midas Adin says, I'm not going to even talk to you. I'm not going to say a thing. I'm not going to say any words. But Hillel, Hillel's the man of Chesed. Hillel's the man of Chesed. Hillel's the person that took them all in. It's Hashpah. Giving yourself out to everybody. It's the knowledge of when to speak. It's the knowledge of when to say something. Thus, the pasuk for Shammai is Lo Ish Devarim Anochi. Lo Ish Devarim Anochi. I'm not a man of words. Sofei Tevis, Shammai. Lo Ish Devarim Anochi. It's Shammai. While Hillel is another line of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hu yeh lecha lepeh. Hu yeh lecha lepeh is Hillel with the Yod. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was told. He'll be the mouth for you. You want a mouth? That's Hillel. You want to stop yourself from speaking? That's Shammai. That's what Kad Kod stands for. You have both. And thus, it's both the Yashpeh and the Shoam. Because it stands for both different types of a person. Both different things. That's what Noach did. That's what Noah was able to do. Guys, it's an uphill battle. We're born with the Yetzer Hara. I saw Rav Chaim Kanievsky this week. It mamish threw me for a loop. One of the craziest things I've ever heard from somebody. And I realized I'd done it before. I'd read it. I had read it in Gemara before. And I never realized what it had said. I just didn't realize. We were born with the Yetzer Hara. When do you get the Yetzer Tov? When do you get your Yetzer Tov? The age of 13. You don't get a Yetzer Tov until 13. But you have a Yetzer Hara from birth. The Chafetz Chaim was once feeding a child. And the Panovitzer Rav was there. He's feeding a child. The kid didn't want to eat. He's closing his mouth. And the Chafetz Chaim is trying to stick the thing of food into his mouth. The kid wouldn't do it. He's turning his face away and whatever. He turns to the Panovitzer Rav and he says, you know why this kid won't eat? You know why he's not eating anything? It's the Yetzer Hara. It's telling him, don't eat, so he's too weak to be able to learn Torah. It's the Yetzer Hara telling you not to eat. Even at the age of 3-4 years old, the Yetzer Hara is working. The Yetzer Hara is telling you, don't eat. You don't have to learn Torah. You're bored. You don't want to do this. That happens right there. So listen to this. The pasuk says, Ki Yetzer Leva Adam Ra Minu Urav. The Yetzer Leva Adam, the Yetzer Hara that you have is Ra Minu Urav. It's bad from birth, from when you're born. How can you be bad when you're 2 days old, 3 days old? How is there a Yetzer Hara? What Yetzer Hara is there? Where the Leon Mun, the right-hand man of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, asked it to Rav Chaim. He wrote a letter to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Yeah, I might have asked him in whatever with a tape recorder. And he asked him, how is it possible for a little baby to be bad? Rav Chaim Kanievsky, only Rav Chaim Kanievsky would have said this. Said, It's a Gemara. Avos to Rebbe Nassim, Perek Tez Zayin, Halacha Gimel. They don't go by Mishnayos or whatever when it comes to Avos to Rebbe Nassim. Tez Zayin Gimel says the following. Yetzer Hara tells the baby, when someone goes to pick him up, this guy wants to kill you. this guy wants to kill you. And the baby cries. You ever pick up a baby and the baby starts crying and the mommy has to take him and start rocking him again because the baby cried when you held him? It's because the Yetzer Hara told the baby he wants to kill you. A baby doesn't know who's holding him. Baby doesn't have any realization of what's going on around him. It's the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara is destroying him. Yetzer Hara is telling the baby, don't let him hold you. He's going to kill you. He's going to hit you. He's going to throw you to the ground. And the baby cries. The baby cries. That baby will touch a snake and have no problem with it. He'll touch a scorpion. No problem with it. He'll put his hand into a fire. I have a scar right here on my skin. When I was 1 year old, I came out of a bath and I put my hand on a radiator. On a boiling hot radiator. No animal in the animal kingdom does such a thing. Every animal has an instinct when they're born. This is what you can do, this is what you can't do. Human babies do it. If we would be in the wild, we would have died within seconds. Because we have a Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara tells us, do stupid things. Touch something hot. Put your hand on that coal. Touch that scorpion. Go hold that snake. That's what the kid's told. And it's not the kid. It's the Yetzer Hara. That's the power of the Yetzer Hara. This is a Gemara. That's the idea behind it. And that's the Raya. That animals don't do this. Animals never have done it. I got one more part to this. There's an Nitzitzei Shimshon. I'm back into Rav Shimshon Astropolia. I haven't done the Nitzitzei Shimshon in about 7 years. Nitzitzei Shimshon was my favorite sefer by far. When I first started learning Chumash, I saw it. Somebody showed it to me, a guy named Effie Goldman, who started a Chumash Shirim base before I continued it. Effie Goldman showed it to me. I love this sefer. He says, in this week's Parsha, there's a pasuk. There's a guy, he lives in New York right now. This Nitzitzei Shimshon, Rav Shimshon Astropolia, he lives in times of Tach B'Tach. There's a pasuk in this week's Parsha. It says, Shnayim Shnayim Bo'el Noach Alateh. Two by two, they came to Noach to the table. It's Pasuk Tes. Parak Zayin Pasuk Tes. Two by two, they came to Noach to the table. The two animals by two animals, they came to Noach to the table. Says the Medrash, these are the days that we say Hallel Shalom. These are the days that we say a full Hallel. Shnayim, Shnayim, Boel, Noach al Teva. Nobody understands what that means. What in the world does that have to do with us saying Hallel Shalom? Where does that go? Says the Nitzitzei Shimshon, there are four times where we say a full Hallel. Full Hallel, every part of Hallel with brachas and everything. Everything. Two days of Pesach, 2 days of Shavuos, 9 days of Sukkot, and 8 days of Hanukkah. 2, 2, 9, and 8.
There's
9 days of Sukkot? Did you not have Sukkot?
I understand that. Why is that 2 by 2?
2 days of Pesach,
yeah.
2 days of Shavuos, 9 days of Sukkot, and 8 days of Pesach. Says the Pasuk, Shnayim, Shnayim. 2 days of Sukkot, 2 days of Pesach, 2 days of Shavuos. Ba'u, Bez Aleph Vav, is a gematria of 9 for Sukkot. El Noach is a gematria of 89, same gematria as Hanukkah. Same gematria as Hanukkah. Shnayim, Shnayim, Bo El Noach stands for those times when we say Hallel Shalom. Those are the gematria to be able to figure out Hallel Shalom. The problem is, why here? What are we doing this over here for? What is that for? Well, tell me, guys, when do you not say Hallel Shalom? When you do Hallel, but you don't do a full Hallel. So they're the other ones. The other days of Pesach is a different reason altogether. We should say a full Hallel during those days of Pesach, but we don't because the people were drowned. We don't say a full Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. We don't say a full Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. We don't say a full Hallel on Purim. We don't say a full Hallel on Yom Kippur. Obviously, we don't even do Hallel on Purim, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. Not even nothing at all, right? What's pshat? Why not? Here's what Hallel is all about. A guy starts doing something. You get up. You get up and you start doing something, and God finishes off miraculously. He finishes it off with a nace. He doesn't just let you finish it. He makes sure that everything happens with a huge miracle. A massive miracle happens. Something that you never would have expected. A huge miracle happens. All because you started it off correctly. You did it the right way. On Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, and Hanukkah, we started off with something, and God continued it for us. We said Nasa V'Nishma, God did a huge thing with Har Sinai. We decided we were going to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We were going to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said by putting the blood up on the doorposts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim with Nisim Gluyim. We decided to make our own huts in the desert and go out into the desert. God gave us the Anani HaKavod. We decided to fight the Greeks in order to keep our Torah, and God made huge miracles happen, and we were able to defeat the Greeks. Each one of them was, we did something, and God finished it off with a massive miracle. I don't know, was there a massive miracle that happened based on what we did on Yom Kippur? Is there anything that happened? Is there anything that we did that caused us to have something like that? On Rosh Chodesh? Is there anything? On Purim? Purim, you might say, oh, there was a little bit of something, right? We did tshuva. Well, that's totally different. That's completely different. We did tshuva. But we didn't do anything to fight. We didn't start a fight against Amalek and then have a Kadosh Baruch Hu finish it for us miraculously. In fact, it looks like God's not even involved in that. It's an ace misser. It's a different type of an ace. That doesn't deserve Halal Shalom. Shnayim Shnayim Bo'al Noach LaTeva. I want to ask you, how in the world was Noach supposed to find two of every animal and bring it to the Teva? What, he's supposed to go to the deep, dark depths of Africa and find all these creatures in the middle of nowhere? What's he going to do? How in the world is he going to find a lemur? How in the world is he going to find a tapir? I know, I'm giving animals that you've never heard of. How in the world is he going to find all these crazy animals? What's he going to do? He's not a zoologist. How in the world is he going to go around and be like, oh, I got this, I got that, and how's he going to know if he got enough? How's he going to know? Shnayim, shnayim, bo'el, anoach, la'teva. You start it. You make your teva. You do everything you're supposed to do, and God finishes it off. That's Halal Shalom. That's the idea behind Halal Shalom, to be able to do it, and that's the remez to Halal Riyah. I'm going to stop with one little thing, one liner. There's a skula for toothaches in a medrash in this week's parsha. If you have any toothaches, it's brought down by Rav Chaim Kanievsky as well. It's by Kiddush Levana. When you say the words, Kach lo yuchlu kol ayvai lingoa bi l'ra, all of my enemies should not touch me for evil. None of my enemies should touch me. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says he has from his father the stipler. You should add on the words, V'lo yeli k'ev shinayim. And I shouldn't have a toothache. You add on those words. It's based on a medrash. Hashem said, I won't give anyone a marble. Instead, if they sin, I'll give them toothaches. That's what Hashem said. Instead of a marble, you will then get a toothache. So what you're supposed to do by Kiddush Levana is add on, says the disciple. The one time the Rebbetzin said to the disciple, my tooth is hurting me. The disciple said to her, why didn't you tell me at the beginning of the month? I can't do anything for you now. This school of the other ticket, there's Kiddush Levana, this Parshas Noah, Motzei Shabbos. Hopefully, all the clouds are away, daven for there to be able to be a Kiddush Levana. When you say Kiddush Levana, you say this line, Kach lo yuchu kol oivai, lingoa bi l'ra. When you say those lines, add on, v'lo yeli ke'ev shinayim. Don't let me have a toothache. I always wondered how those people in B'nai B'rach afforded everything. Dental work. You think they brush their teeth? Think they even know what brushing their teeth is? I always wondered. I honestly wondered. I had no idea. And I'm sure there are people there that don't have any teeth left. I'm sure. But that's probably because they don't do this during Kiddush Levana. I want to try it. I want to really try it. See what ends up happening. It's got to be something big. Something big. Well, yeah, it's going to be awesome. But that's what the stipler brought down. He sent it over to his son, Rav Chaim. It's a great thing. Great school. It's brought down in this week's parsha. Shkoyach, guys. Have a good Shabbos. It's been fun. Ryan. Oh,